Welcome back! Last week, we celebrated our mid-season finale with an excerpt from our long Q&A, and the full Q&A available to all patrons. As usual, we've got our Patreon link in the description. If you like listening to us talk about silly stuff like our characters' favorite ice cream flavors, you should consider becoming a patron. Check out our benefits at the link in the show notes. This week's episode is Season 1, Episode 11, A Story and a Truth. The content warnings and transcript link are in the show notes. Enjoy!
This epic recording is brought to you by Emil Thornbrew himself. Just kidding. I just figured I'm going through some reports of crimes on the property, and I'd throw in a few jokes, and you could have this tape when you came back. Jamie, it might cheer you up after your council meeting. If anyone can bring out a room, it's Lena Elspeth. Look, I know we're, like, arguing. Are we arguing? I'm not sure. But if we are, I don't want to be anymore. I'm sorry for asking about your dreams. I really didn't mean to freak you out. That stuff aside, here's some reports of crimes on the property. 1880, a witch was hung here. Weird, because that's way past the witch hunt era. However, witch hanging is classified as murders now. Did you know that? January and I used to talk about it back when she wasn't cornering me in rooms and yelling at me. What happened to us? How did things get this messy? You don't have to stick with this, Jamie. You can get out of here. Get far away. I'm probably being ridiculous. Ignore me. All right. 1920. A few robberies, mostly people looking for artifacts to sell. Recorder's note. Don't talk to Leo about this one. He went off on an hour-long tangent about how grave robbers deserve the deepest layer of hell. And when I told him what we're doing is just legal grave robbery, I swear he was trying to kill me with his eyes. 1947. A swastika was vandalized on the side of the church. The book I'm reading has a picture of it, but when the church was reclaimed and renamed in 1988, the swastika was torn away. It sucks, because the old stone is damaged, but also screw Nazis. 1953. Another string of robberies. Like I said earlier, probably not a good topic to talk about with Leo. I asked him if he wanted to see the artifacts they had taken, and he got all preachy, talking about museums and public use and historical preservation, but thankfully, Brooker brought some sandwiches, so I was able to escape. Note that I don't like listening to Leo talk. I do. No, I don't. I don't like Leo. Well, damn it, ignore that last bit. The next crime wasn't until 1971. A guy stabbed in a mugging. He survived, though, so that's good. Then, in 1988, the church was claimed and turned around. Apparently, the group was pretty elusive, and they built this huge fence around it. And then, of course, the next recorded crime was the explosion in 2003, which was confirmed to have been caused by the current congregation of the church. That's it. The library's complete record of crimes committed on the grounds of the Melody Method Church. I thought it might be something you'd like for your research. Weirdly enough, there are tons of human sacrifices in the woods next to us, which I know you know about. I guess the most recent crime was 3 weeks ago, huh?
I'm sorry, what was that?
January! What the hell?
Sit down. We're doing this interrogation thing.
No, you don't get to bully
Sit
me-
Sit down!
I don't want to. You can't make me-
Emil, you need to tell me what happened. What's going
Nothing
on?
Nothing is going on.
I don't believe you.
What do you want?
Answers. And will you stop looking at the door like Leo is going to burst in and save you? He's out.
Good.
Good?
Good that he's far away from your psychotic breakdown as possible.
Look. We can still bring him into this if you want. And it's not a psychotic breakdown, drama queen.
I swear to God.
I see how it is. Let me call him.
Leave him out of this. Fine. All right, look. I'll tell you everything. Just don't drag him into this.
Glad you're feeling more agreeable.
You're an asshole.
I'm worried about you all, and no one will tell me what's going on.
So you resort to yelling at me?
Emil, it's not like that. You're not being fair.
You didn't have to do it this way. You didn't have to ruin our friendship.
Oh, I'm ruining our friendship. Damn, here I was thinking you were the smartest person working here.
It's not that I didn't want to tell you, it's that I couldn't.
And now we're here, and you can.
January.
You've got to understand. You're all keeping me in the dark, and it seems like you're in trouble. It seems like you're in a massive trouble. And you're all being so infuriatingly secretive about it, and I really just want to keep you safe.
You can't tell Jamie and Leo, you know.
Oh, seriously?
If you want me to tell you...
Fine.
We found a dead body.
Damn. I mean, I knew it was something like that, but... Damn. Tell me from the beginning.
It was just a normal day, except you and Booker were around. Jamie was shut up inside, recording a tape, and Leo found a pot he needed help getting up. So I reach under it, and I feel a hand. A cold, clammy hand. Everything went really blurry after that, And the next thing I remember, Leo was coming back with Jamie. We were all staring at the body in the pit. It was covered in blood and grime, and they had Jamie's name carved into their chest. We were trying to figure out what to do. I wanted to call the police. The others were worried we would lose the sight forever. That's when we saw the weird woman in the woods. Jamie chased after her, and after a minute, Leo and I followed her. We found her on the ground in the forest with a nasty concussion. We helped her up and walked back to the pit. The body was gone. Like, no trace of it had ever been there, but whoever took it left a note. Wonderful review, Mrs. Locke. We look forward to more. Or something like that.
God. Emil, why didn't you tell me?
I was scared out of my mind, and I didn't want to drag you into it. I still wish you wouldn't stick yourself in things like this. It complicates things.
What things does it complicate?
Look, I just don't want you to die, okay?
Okay. So what do we do?
Nothing. The body got taken care of for us. We leave it alone.
If someone is threatening Jamie...
Who?
Who else? That creep, Mr. Arthur.
Her professor? Isn't he, like, really old?
Not that old. Hasn't she told you how he's been gaslighting her?
No, she hasn't. I mean, I've heard her talk about it, but never in any detail.
Yeah, well, you think I'm bad.
Speaking of, I think I deserve an apology.
Yeah, you do. I'm sorry. I should have minded my own business, but I wanted to keep you safe. No, not a lot of this conversation was good, but...
None of it was good. It was severely distressing, actually.
But at least now, I know how you really feel about
Shut
Leo.
Shut up!
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, I know, and it's really not goddamn funny.
I'm sorry.
It's just, it's complicated, okay? I'd appreciate it if you didn't bring it up.
All right, I won't. I really am sorry.
I accept your apology.
This is a bit of a mess, huh?
More than a bit, I'd say.
Well, at least...
At least what?
The cookie place down the road is open.
Do dead bodies usually make you hungry?
Ha ha. Do you want to go or not?
I could go for a snickerdoodle.
You disgust me.
It's better than a flavorless sugar cookie.
Things you say astound me sometimes.
Yeah, the feeling is mutual.
Cookies?
Cookies. You're paying.
Is it because I yelled at you?
No, it's because I don't have my credit card. But actually, yes. You owe me cookies for the rest of my life.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
About him, too. I shouldn't have...
January.
Sorry. Zipping my lips.
Good. Let's go.
Ritualistic Podcast would like to acknowledge that we create our stories on stolen land. The land we occupy belongs to the Eastern Shoshone and Goshute peoples. This episode starred Ocean Lavelles as Emil Thornbrew and Sophia Weaver as January Lauterbach. The ritualistic theme, which played at the beginning and end of the episode, was composed by Sophia Weaver. The episode was sound designed by Seth Stone, written by Morgan Champine, and produced by Seth Stone and Morgan Champine. We'd like to thank our patrons, Jay Short, Colin Short, Will Saxon, and Sophia Weaver. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in a little while.